All right, Genesis 35. Tonight we'll have our normal 3 points. We'll have an overview, we'll have an outline, and then we'll study this chapter verse by verse. First, in our overview, we see this chapter begins with God telling Jacob to leave Shechem and to go and build an altar in Bethel. Jacob responds by calling his family to repentance and calling them to purity and then leading them from Shechem to Bethel. When Jacob and his family got to Bethel, Jacob built an altar and there he worshiped God. As Jacob was there, he also buried Rebekah's nurse, Deborah. And God once again appeared to Jacob and then reiterated his covenant and his name to him. After Jacob met with God, they left Bethel and headed south again towards Bethlehem. While they were on their way, Rachel went into labor and died, having Jacob a second son. Jacob named his son Benjamin and buried his wife. After Jacob buried Rachel, he again took his family south to Eder, where they dwelt. While the family was in Eder, we're given a sad story. We're told that Reuben, Jacob's oldest son, committed a sin by having a sexual relationship with Jacob's concubine. This chapter closes with Jacob, after an unknown period of time, traveling south again to Hebron to meet Esau to bury their father Isaac, who died at age 180. So that's kind of the general overview of this chapter. Now our outline is the following. First, in verses 1 through 5, we see that God calls Jacob to take his family back to Bethel. Second, in verses 6 through 15, we see Jacob comes to Bethel and God reiterates his covenant. Third, in verses 16 through 20, Rachel has Benjamin and dies in labor. Fourth, in verses 21 through 26, Reuben's sin and Jacob's family. And then lastly and fifthly, in verses 27 through 29, Jacob and Esau bury Isaac. Now let's study this chapter verse by verse. As we do, we'll see God's directions to Jacob to leave and to move his family towards Bethel. Now, as we look at this, we'll see that God also gives you and I directions in our life to leave complacency in order to grow in our walk in our Christian life with Him. God commands us, as He does Jacob, to move forward, to move ahead, to grow, to be strengthened, and to continue to grow with Him. Now, last week we saw the dangers of complacency. We saw that illustrated in the life of Jacob. We saw that Jacob, rather than moving forward through the promised land, became settled and complacent in Shechem. The result of this complacency was sin crept into his home and his life. Now tonight in our study, we're going to see that, as I said, God is going to call Jacob out and command him to go forward. And he'll also command us to go forward. In verses 1 through 4, we'll see God's directions on his spiritual roadmap for us. And secondly, in verses 5 through 29, we'll see why we should follow God's roadmap, his directions. So let's begin in verses 1 through 4, and we will see God's directions on his spiritual roadmap. Then God said to Jacob, "Arise and go to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother." God spoke to Jacob in his sad and complacent condition, commanded him to get up, leave Shechem, and to go to Bethel and build an altar to the God who met with him when he was fleeing from Esau. Now the first direction on our roadmap is to hear God's voice and to arise through reading God's word. So that was God's first direction for Jacob. He says, "Jacob, listen, you need to get up and arise, and you need to go back." Well, in the same way, God will direct us in our Christian life through reading his word. God speaks to our life through the illustrations, teachings, and exhortations of the Bible. The Bible has been called the canon, which is the measuring stick, the measuring rod. And what that means is that as we read the Bible, our lives is measured up to the Bible. We learn from it. We're encouraged to move forward. We're encouraged to change. We're exhorted to arise and move forward. Now, I've discovered personally that when we stop reading the Bible devotionally, you become complacent. And when you're complacent, you don't want to read the Bible or hear the Bible taught because you're complacent and you're comfortable and you don't want to move. And so, you know, and so the first way that we arise and move forward is by hearing the Bible taught and by reading the Bible. But if we don't, we'll become complacent. And so we must continue to be in the Word and draw near to the Lord. Now there's a second direction on our spiritual roadmap in these verses. It is to return and remain in first love with Jesus. Now what is it to be in first love? The phrase comes from what Jesus said in Ephesus to the church of Ephesus in Revelation 2:4. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." The Ephesians were working hard. They were teaching the word. They were rebuking false teachers. But they had forgotten their engagement love with the Lord. The excitement was gone. They were serving the Lord not out of passion, but out of perspiration. It was because they've always been doing it. It wasn't because, man, Lord, we're on fire for you. We're passionate for you. Are we complacent in our Christian life? Are we not excited to move forward? Well, if so, do what God told Jacob, arise. And do what God told the Ephesians, arise and move forward. Listen to what Jesus also said in Revelation 2:5. He said, "Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." To move forward, Jesus tells us, is we are to arise and remember where we have fallen. This means that we are to think about where we have fallen from and how we got there. So we're to think about that. Okay, if I'm complacent, well, how did I get to this complacent state in my life? And where have I fallen from? After we realize that we have fallen, we need to repent. We need to do our first works. This simply means that we're to realize our mistake and return and do what we know we should do. It's very simple. Just do what we know we should do. God told Jacob to get out of Shechem and to go to Bethlehem and worship me. Now, before we move on, I want to point out something else in our verse in Genesis. Notice God commanded Jacob to go up. He said, "Arise and go up." Now, it's interesting because on our map, Bethel is actually south of where Jacob was in Shechem. And so Jacob would be going down, but God told Jacob to go up. Why did he say this? Well, Bible teachers say Bethel is actually a higher elevation than Shechem. But also believe that God was referring to something spiritual. Bethel was higher in spirituality than Shechem. Jacob would actually be moving up towards God. Now, a little side note on our roadmap. As we move forward in our walk with the Lord, we're actually moving upward. We're actually growing and moving up towards God. Now, we don't have to stress and scheme how to be more heavenly. We don't have to stress and scheme how to be more like Jesus. If we desire to move forward, well, then we'll actually be moving upward. We'll be growing more and more in our walk with the Lord. And so Jacob has his directions, and we have our directions in moving forward. Verse 2, "And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him," verse 2, "put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments." God spoke to Jacob and said, "Arise, move forward." Now Jacob turns to his house and says, "Arise, move forward." Notice the contrast between Jacob this week and Jacob last week. Jacob is once again taking charge of his family. Last week, he let his sons do the talking. And we saw the bad news that was, right? Jacob kind of just went out into the background and let his sons say, "Hey, we got a plan. I want all you guys to become circumcised, and then we'll kill you when you're in pain." And so Jacob didn't take authority. But now we see Jacob returning. Now he is taking authority. He said, "Listen, arise. We're going to Bethel. This is what God has called us to do. Let's do it." Jacob commanded his household, which included every person under his roof, not just his family, every person. "Listen, if you're in my house, this is what you're going to do." First, Jacob told them to throw away their foreign gods. The idols that Jacob told them to throw away was the idol that Rachel had taken from her father's house when they left. You remember those idols. Rachel and Leah thought, "Man, we don't even have an inheritance from our dad. He didn't give us any money. He took all of our money and blew it. And so, let's take his idols, his little gold idols, and we'll have that for our money." And so they took those with them. But notice, the idols that they took from their dad's house, which they thought would make them money, actually became a stumbling block to the family. They began worshiping these idols, such as the Canaanites. Now, that's something to remember. Just because it's something that we as parents, you know, or stronger believers can take in and say, hey, we're going to use this for, you know, just for money purposes or whatever, actually can become a stumbling block in future for us and for our children. Secondly, Jacob told them to throw away their earrings. Now, was Jacob a Pentecostal? Was he saying, yeah, glory, you know, no jewelry? No. These earrings, most Bible teachers believe, were associated with the worship of these idols. And so, you know, with the idols came the earrings. They were to throw them away. Thirdly, Jacob told his family to purify themselves and to change their garments. This is often symbolized in the Old Testament as repentance from sin and consecration to God. We often see this in the Old Testament with the priests. Before they were to enter the temple, they were often to change their garments and take a bath. And so Jacob is here is calling his family to repentance. He's calling his family back to consecration to God and telling them, listen, we need to follow the Lord. Now, we have a great exhortation as parents and as believers in this chapter. From this verse, we see that Jacob calls his family back to the responsibility to follow him. Excuse me. My acrobats now tell me to download something. Not right now. Now, we have a great exhortation from this verse for our personal lives as parents and spouses. First, our responsibility besides our walk with the Lord is the home. We must guard what we bring in and what we do in the home. Because if not, it can turn out, as I said, to be a stumbling block. Now, in this verse, we can also get a third direction on our spiritual roadmap. It is, we are to deal with anything personal in our life that is not right, whether it is at home, at work, with other people, or etc., whatever it is. We're to deal with it. And so if we don't deal with it, well, then it continues to hinder us from moving forward in our walk with the Lord. It would have been, you know, Jacob could have brought his family back with these idols, but they would have continued to worship them. And so Jacob had to deal with these personal things in his life, and we do too. Verse 3. Then let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and has been with me in the way which I have gone. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which are in their hands, and the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree which was by Shechem. After Jacob dealt with the sin in his personal home, personal life and home, he then set the direction in which he and his family were to go. Now, just as God said, Jacob, you know, take your family back to Bethel and build an altar, Jacob told his family the same thing. Now, Jacob's family responded to his command by giving him their idols and their earrings. And then Jacob took these, and then there he hid them under the terebinth tree, which was in Shechem. Now, most Bible translators say that the terebinth tree of Shechem is actually to be translated oak tree. Now notice Jacob did not keep these things for his convenience. Rather, he got rid of them because the focus was returning back to worship God. Jacob didn't say, hey, you guys get rid of things, but I'll keep these things. You know, well, in the same way, when we get rid of things in our life, they're not convenient things that we get rid of, but we're to put them away, reckon the old man dead, you know, permanently, never to return back to it again. The fourth direction on our spiritual roadmap is we must know where we're headed. Do we know where we're headed? And are we making preparations and precautions to get there? If we don't make preparations and precautions in our walk with the Lord, well, then you'll be like me and my wife, Ashley, if we stop in L.A. on the way to Disneyland. You know, sometimes you got to make a stop, you know. And so we're like, oh, let's get off here right now. And so we have to get off there right now. And so we get off and we end up in a lot of places where we shouldn't be. And we end up seeing a lot of things, but a lot of things we see are places we shouldn't be. Oh, those are called projects right there. Yeah, we shouldn't be driving down this street right now. And we just find ourselves in a bunch of interesting places. The result is we waste a lot of time and we get ourselves into a lot of dangerous situations. Well, in the same way in our Christian life, we must know God's directions for our life, you know. And if we know God's direction for our life, which comes from the Bible, then we need to stay on course. Because if we get off course, into something else, you know, even though the world thinks it's good, well, it's going to take a lot of time away from the true work that God wants to do, and it's going to put us into a lot of dangerous and stupid situations that we shouldn't be in. Verse 5, "And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob." In Genesis 34, Jacob rebuked Simeon and Levi for killing the man of Shechem. The reason he did this, as you remember, was Jacob was afraid of the pagan nations retaliating against him. He says, "Man, you guys are crazy. Why'd you do that? They're going to find out what I did, and they're going to come back, and they're going to wipe us out." Now, notice this verse shows us that Jacob left and journeyed south towards Bethel. Now, notice Jacob had nothing to fear. We're told here that God put fear in the heart of all of the different nations. He put fear in the heart of all the different cities as he was traveling. So Jacob had nothing to fear all along. He was afraid of them, you know, coming against him. But in reality, Jacob had nothing to fear because God went before him and provided. Now, we all know this principle because we talk about it a lot. But it's a good principle that we must always keep in mind, which is the great principle that if God is calling us, He will also enable us. So tonight we don't have to be condemned about moving forward in our walk with the Lord. We don't have to be like, "Oh man, I can't do that. That's great, you know, but I wanted to stay where I am because I can't do it." Well, you can do it, because if God's word calls us to do it, well, then He'll then empower us to do it. So there's a little map that shows us Jacob's journey south from Shechem to Bethlehem, or to Bethel, excuse me. And so if God calls us to go forward, well, then He'll empower us. And the nations that were afraid of Jacob were all around that area of Bethel. Now, our second point in verses 5 through 29 is we'll see the reasons we should follow God's spiritual roadmap and directions. Now, in these verses, we'll see, unlike the maps we get offline, this map works. And you will want to follow it again and again and again. And so, you know the maps we get offline. Ashley was actually going to a party yesterday morning, and I got her a map off, I believe it was Yahoo Maps or whatever, and she said, "It was crazy. It took me all around this way and that way," and that's what maps do, you know, and especially the maps offline. But God's spiritual roadmap for us, His direction for us, is always perfect. You know, we'll always want to do it again because we'll see it works. Now, verse 6. "So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother." So Jacob and his family made it to Bethel, which was previously called Luz. Now when Jacob got there, just as God said to him, he built an altar to God and called the altar El Bethel. It's not a gang tag name. It's actually a Hebrew name. El meaning God, and Bethel meaning the house of God. Jacob was not seeking an altar, but notice he was seeking God. You know, he said, "This place is El Bethel," you know, which is, you know, God, the house of God. You know, so he was seeking the God of the altar. Verse 8, "Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the terebinth tree. So the name of it was called Elon Bakuth. We have a note concerning the death of and burial of Deborah, Rebecca's nurse," which was Jacob's mother. Now, most commentators say that because Deborah was with Jacob and under his care, Rebecca probably died by this time. And so that's sad, because Jacob never got to see his mother again. You remember when Jacob left last time? He left because he deceived his father, you know, Isaac, and also deceived his brother Esau. And Esau said, "Okay, I'm going to kill Jacob next time I see him." And so Rebekah said, "Okay, hey, we have to get Jacob out of here, because Esau, he's a hunter. He's going to hunt him down. He's going to kill him." And so the last time Jacob saw Rebekah was when she told him to go to Laban's house. And that was it, you know, and she died by the time Jacob came back with all of his kids. And so ministering out of the flesh never works. It always hurts, and it's never good. Now, also something else Bible teachers point out is they point out that not only did Rebekah probably die by this time, but they also believe that Jacob probably visited Isaac when he was still living in order to have Deborah come with him. And so probably came back and visited a good old dad, when he was in the land of Canaan, and there picked up Deborah so she can come along with him. Deborah died, and they buried her under the terebinth tree there at Bethel, and called the name of that place Alon Bakuth, which means Oak of Weeping. Verse 9, then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. After Jacob buried Deborah, God revealed himself to Jacob and blessed him. Verse 13 says that God went up from that place. And so God could have appeared to Jacob in either a theophany or some kind of manifestation, because it says God went up. So apparently God came down to meet with him. In what way? We're not told. Now, in what way did God bless Jacob? We see it in the following verses. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall no longer be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. Also God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac I give to you, and to your descendants after you I give this land. So first in verse 10, God reiterated the name that Jacob received at Peniel. He told Jacob, no longer will you be known as Jacob, but now you shall be known as Israel. God fights for you. Second, in verse 11, God reiterated himself, reiterated his covenant to Jacob, and he told him that his name was God Almighty. Now, God revealed himself as God Almighty to Abraham, and now he's revealing himself, he revealed himself to Abraham and Isaac, and he also revealed himself to Jacob. God also told Jacob the same promises that he did to Abraham and Isaac. So we see the transfer of authority. First he gave it to Abraham, then he gave it to Isaac. Now he's given this to Jacob. He's reiterating it to him. He gave him the promise that from him would come a great nation. And also he said that Jacob's descendants would inherit and possess the land of Canaan. So whose land is that area, the land of Canaan? Not just the Gaza in Israel, in Jerusalem, but the whole entire land of Canaan, that whole entire area. Well, it belongs to Jacob and his descendants. Jacob's name is Israel. His sons are the 12 tribes of Israel. So the land rightly belongs to Jacob and his descendants. You know, regardless of whether Canaanites were there, it doesn't matter, because God said it belongs to Jacob. And so that's what it comes down to. Now notice, it wasn't in vain that Jacob left Shechem and followed God's roadmap. You know, Jacob didn't, leave Shechem and end up in Barstow. He didn't leave Shechem and end up in, Alpaw or Dinuba or something like that, He left, Shechem and ended up in Bethel, the house of God. He ended up in a place where he would grow in his walk with the Lord. He ended up in a place where he was blessed, where God came down and appeared to him. He, on his journey, was protected by God. And now God revealed himself to him and blessed him. You know, it's important for us to remember that God's word isn't just suggestions, that we hope worked. We know that it has worked. I love that passage in Timothy where Paul tells Timothy, hey, listen, you have known, the things, that have been given to you. You've seen them work, Timothy, from your mother Lois, and your grandmother. These things has worked. And same with us. We know these things have worked. We've seen countless times throughout the Bible that God has been faithful to his people through his word. And we question God. We're like, okay, well, God's word is saying this. Should I really do it? Is it going to work? Well, yes, it's going to work. We have the evidence for it. And so our world is looking for things that work, right? We live in what they call a pragmatic, time when everybody wants things that work. Show me what's work, what works, and I'll follow it. They want things that work. Well, we have what works. The things that the world offer, they don't work. They're like those roadmaps that you get on. They're just not good. They take you in a bunch of areas that you shouldn't be in. But the Bible gives us a roadmap, and it gives us directions for things that work. And so since we know it works, well, we should rejoice in it, and we should bear witness to that to a lost world. We have the answers. I'll talk a little bit about chapter 9. Chapter 9 is great because it shows us that God can use anybody. And God has just used anybody's. I forgot whether it's, I think it's Poncho Juarez. It says, God took a nobody, you know, and made him a, you know, and made him a somebody because of who he knows. You know, it's, you know, we're just nobodies, but because we know God, you know, then we can be used by the Lord. And so we have the answers. And so, you know, when people want direction for life, don't, you know, turn to Oprah or, you know, Dr. Phil. You know, give them the Bible, because those things don't work. You know, those marriage seminars and stuff don't work. Only the Bible has the answers. Verse 13, then God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. So Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him, Bethel. After God's presence left Jacob, Jacob worshipped the Lord by offering the first drink offering in the Old Testament. Now, we're told after that Jacob once again called the place Bethel, which means the house of God. As you'll see future, as you continue to read the Old Testament, there is an actual drink offering that is established in the Old Testament where the Jews would worship God. And so we see Jacob does that before Moses established the law. Verse 16, then they journeyed from Bethel, and when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, Rachel labored in childbirth, and she had hard labor. Now, Jacob and his family left Bethel and headed south again towards Ephrath, which will later be called Bethlehem. We have a map. Once again, we can show you as he's making his descent now south from Shechem, there to Bethel, and now to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. Now, as they were on their journey, Rachel, who was pregnant, went into what Moses calls hard labor. Now, the word hard labor can be translated fierce labor. And so this wasn't just really long, bad back labor, if you know what that is. This is actual, you know, she's dying. You know, it's really horrible labor. Verse 17, now it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said to her, do not fear, you will have this son also. And so it was, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Ben-Oni, but his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar on her grave, which is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. Now, sometime during when Rachel was in either second stage labor, which is transition, or third stage labor, which is pushing, so you got to know your birthing things, the midwife told Rachel, don't worry, you're going to have this baby. Now, after Rachel had this baby boy, she began dying. Now, right before she died, she called his name Ben-Oni, which means son of sorrows. And so she was dying. She says, you're going to be the son of sorrows. And then once she died, Jacob changed his name to Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. You know, so Jacob's like, I can't have this kid live his whole life, you know, with this name. And so he changed his name to son of my right hand. And Benjamin, indeed, as we'll see with the story of Joseph, was Jacob's son of his right hand. He loved him very, very much because he loved Rachel very much. Now, after this, Jacob buried Rachel and set up a pillar on her grave. And as Moses notes, it is still there to that day, somewhere around 1400 B.C. And so it continued to stand there. Verse 21, then Israel journeyed and pitched his tent beyond the Tower of Eder. Now notice, Jacob is now called by his new name, Israel. Now it's interesting that God is not done with Jacob. As any person, there's still more changes that need to be done. But it's interesting to think back and see Jacob's sin and God's power and the plan that he used in order to change him from Jacob to Israel. And so, you know, all the times God was saying, Jacob, get up out of Shechem and go to Bethlehem. You know, Jacob, you know, go here. Now finally he says, Israel journeyed and went on his way. And so God's work is never done. But Jacob, you know, was walking with the Lord. And it's neat. We know Jacob's life story. But, you know, it'll be interesting in heaven to look back and to see our life story. And to see how Jacob, or how God took us from being Jacob, you know, to Israel. How God molded us and shaped our life. And, you know, so we'll think about that in heaven. But I believe that we can also think about that now. You know, think back in the work that God has done in your life. And if you can't remember the work that God has done in your life, well, then keep walking, you know, and because God desires to work in your life. Now, we can help God out. We can be helpful by being obedient, you know. Jacob didn't necessarily have to be Jacob all that time, but because he was Jacob, he chose to continue to be Jacob. And God had to break him and to put him in. And so let's be obedient to the Lord so he can continue to work in our life. Verse 22, the first part. And it happened when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And Israel heard about it. Now, before we get into the list of names of Jacob's sons, we're given a sad note concerning a sexual relationship between Reuben, Jacob's firstborn son, and Bilhah, Jacob's concubine. Now, there's a lot of speculation on why Reuben and Bilhah had this relationship, since Bilhah was a lot older than Reuben. But nevertheless, you know, she was Jacob's legal wife. And so it wasn't, you know, just she was just there as a servant. She was actually Jacob's legal wife, even though she was a concubine. Now, the speculations are, first, they wanted to be together. Some say, well, Jacob was not giving her the attention that she needed, and so she went to Reuben, the firstborn son. But while others, more than likely, Reuben was trying to usurp the authority of his father by sleeping with one of his wives. And so you see that also as you read the Old Testament with the kings. You know, that was often a sign of taking charge and taking authority. Whatever the reason was, this act was an act of sin, and because of that, Reuben forfeited his birthright. And so Reuben had the birthright, but as we'll see when Jacob gives his prophecies in chapters 49 and 50, Reuben no longer has the birthright because, as we'll see, Jacob says, because you committed sin with my concubine. So sin carries consequences. And so that is another reason why we should follow God's roadmap, because it'll save us a lot of time and a lot of trouble. Now the sons of Jacob, verse 22, were 12. The sons of Leah were Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's maidservant, were Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's maidservant, were Gad and Asher. These were the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Padan Aram. Now these boys were the famous 12 tribes of Israel. The family that God chose from before the foundation of the world to bring his son Jesus Christ into the world is right here. These 12 boys with their father Israel. Now, does that amaze you? You know, God uses the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. You know, God uses the things which, you know, we look at and we say, wow. But God in his grace, but God in his power chose to use this nation with their weaknesses and these people with their weaknesses in order to bring his son into the world to do something great and beautiful. And to affect billions, affect millions of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God can use us. You know, from an outside perspective, people might look on us and say, that's going to be the person that God uses? Well, yes. But God can. God can use us to affect many lives. And I believe we'll rejoice when we get to heaven to see how God uses. Because a lot of times, you know, when we're used by the Lord, we don't really realize, you know, we're being used by the Lord, but in reality, we are. So continue to stay strong and don't quit doing good. Verse 27, in closing. And Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mamre of Kirjath Arba, that is Hebron, when Abraham and Isaac had dwelt. Now the days of Isaac were 180 years. So Isaac breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. So Jacob went south again to meet his brother Esau in Hebron to see and bury their father Isaac, who died at a good ripe old age of 180. So, in closing, let's follow God's directions, because we have seen from the life of Jacob they work, and they will get us to the location that we need to be.